The ongoing issue of a private heliport at 26 Mile will likely head to court. And a local citizen group spreads its efforts statewide. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haines Assembly met Friday after an extended recess from its Tuesday meeting. The only item on the agenda was to discuss a document about the Assembly's decision to grant a permit for a heliport in a neighborhood at 26 Mile Haines Highway. Big Salmon Ventures is a sister company to Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures and is planning to build a lodge in the Eagle Vista neighborhood on Chilkat Lake Road. The Borough Planning Commission denied a request for a permit to operate a heliport at the site. The company appealed that decision to the Assembly, which overturned the decision, authorizing the permit. The Assembly needs to formalize its reasoning for the decision in a legal document called a Finding of Fact and Conclusion of Law. The document was drafted by Borough Attorney Brooks Chandler. At Tuesday's meeting, the Assembly wanted some changes made to the document, and so it sent it back to Chandler, wanting to approve the document at the conclusion of the meeting on Friday. But on Friday, the Assembly wanted more changes made, and so sent the document back to the attorney again. It will come up for approval at the next regular meeting on April 8th. The document is important because technically, once approved, and a date by which an appeal can be filed. Some Chilkat Lake Road residents have said they believe the Assembly's move to grant the heliport appeal is illegal, and they plan on filing suit against the borough. Whether that can happen before or after the finding of fact document is approved is up for legal interpretation. When the residents file suit, it will be in the form of an administrative appeal, meaning the suit will be focused on the process the borough used to make its decision and whether they followed code and law in doing so. The case, when filed, will be taken up in state superior court. The Haines School District is back to square one on its search for new superintendent after its second candidate removed himself from consideration and took another job. Ted Van Bronckhorst arrived in Haines Friday afternoon. He was scheduled to meet with and answer questions from school staff at 4 p.m. and do the same at a reception with the public Friday evening. The school board was scheduled to interview him Saturday morning and meet directly after to possibly make a hiring decision. But Friday afternoon, Van Bronckhorst accepted a job offer from the Juneau School District, according to Haines School Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri. The board had narrowed its search to two finalists after receiving 16 applications for the position. Jay Thomas was the other finalist, but he also withdrew his name from consideration when he took a job as superintendent in Wrangell before arriving in Haines for an interview. 10 of 17 superintendent positions opened this spring across Southeast. The school board had set an accelerated review and hiring schedule because it knew Haines would be competing along with several other communities for candidates, Palmieri said. The school board, at its regular meeting Tuesday evening, will discuss the superintendent position, Palmieri said. It's already been re-advertised. The district is contacting the other applicants to see if they would still like to be considered in this round of applicants, although some of them have already taken positions elsewhere. A movement against so-called corporate personhood that originated in Haines last year has spread to other communities statewide. The effort is now focused on having candidates for political office declare where they stand on the question of constitutional rights. We the People Alaska group first formed last year in Haines. The group pushed a ballot measure to have the local charter preamble changed to say constitutional rights are guaranteed only to people, not to artificial entities, such as corporations or unions. The measure passed easily with 57% of the vote. Gershon Cohen is a founding member of the Haines group. He says corporations have been granted more rights over the years, starting with Supreme Court cases as far back as the 1800s. The idea came to a head in 2010 with the Citizens United case, where the High Court said entities like corporations and unions have the same rights as individuals in regards to campaign financing. But Cohen says the problem with that is the Constitution is clear that there is a distinction between rights and privileges.
I don't think I'm putting too fine a point on it when I say the difference between something being a privilege and a right is fundamental. We grant privileges. We have rights simply because we live in a free society. They are different and they have to remain separate. They are not equal.
We the People has expanded to 10 more communities across the state. Some people in those communities were already following the corporate personhood issue, like Larry Landry in Gustavus. He said he read about the effort in Haines to change the borough charter and realized the group's efforts aligned with his concerns. Concerns he thinks are typical of many Alaskans.
I see it as one of the big issues facing America, and I think Alaska is a great place to start, because I think, you know, we have a bit of a higher value. Well, I think we place a bit of a higher value on freedom generally in Alaska than a lot of other places do, and so I think we should be a place to take a strong stand on this issue.
Landry's group in Gustavus is small but growing, he said, and it crosses political ideologies.
There definitely is interest. I mean, I think there is a widespread concern on this topic, really across the political spectrum, and I think that's one of the beauties of the issue, is that it crosses the political divide, and so I think we will see engagement on all levels here.
The We the People Alaska groups across the state will join efforts in this upcoming election season to ask candidates to make their views on constitutional rights known. Cohen says the group will not endorse candidates or parties, but it is sponsoring the Alaska Constitutional Pledge. The pledge says a candidate believes the state constitutional intended for inalienable rights for individuals only. It also states a candidate would support an amendment of existing Alaska laws to clarify the term person means only human beings. Cohen said identifying where candidates stand on the issue could be important for some voters.
To us, this is a fundamental issue because it tells us whether or not this candidate's going to take money from entities that candidate will, if they get into office, will then be beholden to. So it tells us a lot about how they're going to make decisions if they're elected.
Cohen said he has verbal commitments from some candidates, but once the pledges are signed, they will be posted on the We the People Alaska website. The communities that have established We the People groups are Juneau, Anchorage, Kenai, Matsu, Fairbanks, Ketchikan, Sitka, Gustavus, Haines, Homer, and Nome. Cohen will be speaking about the issue and We the People group at length on Tuesday morning's Talk of Alaska with Steve Heimel. That show airs live at 10 a.m. on KHNS. 9 names are vying for 3 seats on the State Board of Fisheries, including 6 newcomers and 1 Haines resident. That gives Governor Sean Parnell the unique opportunity to replace a majority of the 7-member Fish Board, should he choose to do so, and should the Alaska legislature go along with it. The incumbents that have reapplied for 3-year terms include John Jensen of Petersburg, Sue Jeffrey of Kodiak, and Reed Morisky of Fairbanks. The newcomers include Dean Risley, a longtime gillnetter from Haines and member of the Upper Lynn Canal Fish and Game Advisory Committee. Also in the running is Alan Gross of Petersburg, Harvey Kitka of Sitka, William Coleman from Eagle River, Thane Humphrey of Anchorage, and Kerry Jones of Juneau. By state statute, the Alaska governor must make all board and commission selections by April 1st. That's Tuesday. And the legislature has scheduled a joint session for April 11th to vote on all confirmations. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will review whether or not Southeast Alaska wolves should be listed for protection under the Endangered Species Act. The federal agency this month announced what it's called a positive 90-day finding on a petition to list the Alexander Archipelago wolf. Steve Brockman is Southeast Alaska coordinator for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
We determined that there was substantial information presented enough to make us think we probably should do a real status review.
Brockman says the status review will look at the best available information on wolf populations. The timing of when the review happens also depends on funding granted by Congress, which limits the number of petitions the agency can review each year.
Recently, that has been several years before we get that funding, so we do have an opportunity here to, really take advantage of the time lag to get some conservation in place so that we don't have to list the wolf. Honestly, the Fish and Wildlife Service would prefer to leave management of the wolf with the state of Alaska where it belongs. We do have a responsibility to list it if it needs to be listed. We intend to work with our partners at the state and at the Forest Service to make sure we don't have to do that when the time comes.
The petition to list the wolves was submitted in August of 2011 by 2 groups, the Center for Biological Diversity and Greenpeace. Larry Edwards is a forest campaigner with Greenpeace in Sitka.
Well, we're thrilled to finally have the finding. It has come over 2 years late, but we knew there was a strong case for pursuing a listing, and we're glad to see that the agencies decided that our petition had merit.
The groups argue that the region's wolf populations are declining and are vulnerable to hunting and trapping pressure, along with the loss of habitat from logging on the 17-million-acre Tongass National Forest. Doug Vincent Lang is director of the State Fish and Game's Division on Wildlife Conservation. He says the Fish and Game believes the department has sustainably managed wolf numbers in the region.
We're confident that any potential conservation concerns can be adequately addressed through existing mechanisms, including state regulatory mechanisms that are out there. And given that, we don't believe that wolves in southeast Alaska are at risk now or threatened with the risk of extinction in the foreseeable future. And as such, we don't believe that there's a justification for a 90-day positive finding for wolves in southeast Alaska, and we're disappointed with the service's decision.
The finding kicks off a 60-day public comment period beginning March 31st. Fish and Wildlife will seek input and information on southeast wolves. At a later date, the federal agency then begins a 12-month status review, which leading to a decision on whether the animals should be listed as threatened or endangered. The agency determined a listing was not warranted for a prior petition submitted during the 1990s. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Joe Vicknicki and Lainey Welch for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.